wonderful, how marvelous is my Savior's love for me. Friends, another month passes and news of more funerals reaches us. For this community in recent weeks, Steve Harris and before that Ray Pavey. But also each of us remember particular people at special times of the year, whether it be birthdays. My uncle's birthday was yesterday. He would have been 95. A wedding anniversary or another whole year since someone's died. We live, though, with this cycle of life, don't we? We welcome new relatives and friends into our world as babies are born, as relationships are formed, as new life partners are introduced, as houses come empty and new people move in to be neighbours, or for some of us, we gain work colleagues. But somehow, the losses of long-term friends and long-term family members are not quite compensated for by these new friends and family members. And so our world seems just a little smaller with every death. There is, though, a kernel of hope. Let me explain. Our Bible passage, as many Old Testament passages do, have, if you like, a double timeline of meaning. The first and obvious meaning is that it's a vision given to Ezekiel, the prophet, about the ending of the exile. The exile being that period of years when the Israelites had lost access to and control over the land of Israel. And so it's a vision about how God will restore the hopes and lives of the nation. How God will, to quote verse 13, place you on your own soil. So return them to the land of Israel. But it can also be seen as a vision of a time that is still future, for us even. Listen again to verse 13 and 14 and put it in the realms of the resurrection and the last things and the heaven and stuff. You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This part of the passage in particular could also be seen as a promise that God will literally bring back the dead and reclothe us in new bodies and put his spirit within us, which we can see as a promise about the promise of heaven, of life beyond this death. We read elsewhere too, for example, in Revelation, the book end of the New Testament, about the general resurrection of the dead at the end times and how Jesus is the first fruit that gives us confidence that more is to come. We also read in the Bible that God wants to spend eternity with us humans who are created in God's image, and that all who are followers of Jesus will spend eternity with God in heaven. Yes, our bodies will be different to our earthly bodies because they will last forever and there'll be no more pain. And actually, for some of us, that's a huge promise. To think that our bodies will again be fully functional and without pain, I think is worth the present challenges of this life. It is God, though, who knows the number of days of our lives on this earth. It is God who breathes life in us by his Spirit. It is God who has ordained good things for us to do whilst we're on this earth. It's God who sets his Spirit in us as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. That is life without end with God in heaven for those who believe. And in the simplest of terms, we're told, this is from Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Now, we know that both Steve and Ray declared their belief that Jesus is Lord, and we're convinced that in their hearts they believed that God did indeed raise Jesus from the dead, so we can have confidence that we will see them again in heaven. And that is if we too believe. And many of you do indeed declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you do believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. The question then, I think for us, for these days, is effectively, will you be more Ezekiel? Sounds odd as a statement, but will you follow the call of God? God who told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones he found in the valley. Ezekiel was told, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's what he was told to say, sorry. Now, on the face of it, that sounds really weird. Bunch of bones in a valley, and you're telling the bones to hear the word of the Lord. But Ezekiel was obedient. He did as God told him to. And what God told him to do was carried on like that. He says, thus says the Lord to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and you will cause flesh and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, this kind of picture language, this is the kind of picture language for the people of Israel about God bringing new hope and new life to them. Remember, the Israelites are reported as saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off completely. So the imagery in the vision matches the way the people talk of themselves. And it had a very practical outworking, didn't it? As bones linked up with bones and sinews grew and skin formed. But at heart, we also note that what the Israelites talked about themselves in terms of our hope is lost, that is challenged by this promise of restoration. That is that the environment is changed from one of desolation and death to one of order and calm and readiness for the breath of God to come sweeping in. So I wonder for you, what are the situations where you need to have that courage to declare the word of the Lord? Where you need to speak words that bring hope into a place or into a life of desolation and destruction. I wonder where you need to draw people's attention to the hope that God offers, which takes us out of our hopeless lives, that takes us out of our closed, as it were, lowered expectations and lifts our eyes again to Jesus. Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, there's a hymn which was on my mind as I was preparing this, and I think it's really helpful here. It's the hymn, O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us. Now, I've not prepped these guys, so we're not going to sing it, but I want to read it to us as a prayer because it touches all aspects of this Ezekiel passage. The first verse is around a corporate renewal. But equally, there's a sense in which we as individuals need to change, as you'll hear as we work ourselves through the hymn. Let me read it to you. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us and fit your church to meet this hour. O wind of God, come bend us, break us, till humbly we confess our need. Then in your tenderness remake us, revive, restore, for this we plead. O breath of love, come breathe within us, renewing thought and will and heart. Come, love of Christ, afresh to win us, revive your church in every part. O heart of Christ, once broken for us, 'tis there we find our strength and rest. Our broken, contrite hearts now solace, and let your waiting church be blessed. Revive us, Lord. Is zeal abating while harvest fields are vast and white? Revive us, Lord. The world is waiting. Equip your church to spread the light. Friends, we find ourselves in unusual times, but again, we can ask for God by His Spirit to fit your church, to meet this power, to fit His church, to meet this hour. Equally, in this season of Easter, especially in this season before Easter, as we move into what they call Passiontide, as we remember again the Passion of Christ, we can take opportunity to put ourselves right with God. Come bend us, break us, till humbly we confess our need. And our need in the end is for hope, the hope that only God can give us. But it's also the space where God gives us strength and rest. Because our broken, contrite hearts find solace, find peace, find calmness in that unity with Christ. Let's take a moment to pray and then we'll move on. Father, we thank you that you bring hope where it seems that all is lost. That you bring peace where otherwise we have no peace. Lord, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, revive us as individuals, as a church, as part of the church, nationally and globally, that we might be people who are known for our love for you, that we might know your power at work in and through us, we ask. Amen.